Are you still walking along the path to find out what your life's mission is? It may be closer than you think. Welcome to Mission Possible Program with your host, Carol Ann Fernandez. Everyone has a true calling. Join us now and find yours. Now, here is Carol Ann Fernandez.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mission Possible Program. Happy to be with you. Happy Thursday. I'm your host, Carol Ann Fernandez, and the author of the book, Mission Possible, A Guide to Discovering Your True Calling. Today, I will be in conversation with Donna Devorak, who is an animal communicator. Donna was born and raised on a small farm in communist Czechoslovakia, known today as the Czech Republic. Highly intuitive and surrounded only by animals, Donna began communicating with them at an early age. Because spirituality and religion was disavowed by the communist regime, she hid her abilities. Donna became a lawyer as well as a highly successful international model. Settling in Los Angeles, she established two modeling agencies of her own. Returning to her spiritual roots, Donna serendipitously connected and communicated with an ailing dog. She relayed the maladies to its guardian, which was later confirmed by a vet. Shortly thereafter, she healed her own ailing cat, who was unresponsive to medicine and veterinary care. She continued to work on animals, sold her business, and jumped fully into her true calling as an animal communicator. Today, Donna works with animals of any kind or size, domestic or wild, from tiny lizards to elephants and whales. Her practice now includes the soul training program for humans. Donna is spelled D-A-N-A, Devorak, her last name D-V-O-R-A-K. Her website is DonnaDevorakAnimalCommunicator.com. Welcome, Donna.
Hello, Caroline. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be on your show. Thank you for having me again.
Yes, thank you for joining me. And I want to let the audience know how you and I connected. So I have a cat who was recently diagnosed with hypothyroidism and a highly, highly, highly inflamed liver. And she's been good for all of her life. And so when I got the diagnosis, I was very distraught, and Donna came highly, highly recommended. So I reached out to her. And Donna, you were so sweet and kind and loving, and you did a session with my cat. You communicated with her, and you also did some healing work on her. And you gave me a lot of information about my cat. And some of that information I'm still processing. And I want to say that you really captured the essence of who she is. You captured her personality. And I just wanted to give like a tiny little itty-bitty example of some of the information that came through. One of the things one of the things she said to you, Donna, was that she didn't like the soupy stuff that I was giving her, and she wanted to have the tiny brown crunchy things. And when you first told me that, I was a little disbelieving of that, because she was always eating her wet food. So the soupy stuff was really her wet food, and I was adding a little more liquid to it so that she would get more fluid in her body. And but after the session, I realized she really wasn't eating. She didn't want that soupy stuff. She was eating the brown, the dry food like you told me she wanted, and she had a lot of that. And then So the vet gave her a very specific medication for her thyroid, and then gave me a supplement for her inflamed liver. But the vet also told me to put her on a very specific liver diet. And I could not find any hepatic food for cats. It's easy to find hepatic food for dogs, but not for cats. So needless to say, every time she eats, I have been incredibly stressed out, because I'm always thinking like, oh my gosh, she's not eating the right thing. She's not getting the right food. And the vet was also having a hard time trying to find this hepatic diet for cats. But about a week ago, Donna, we just had her retested to see, you know, how she was doing. And the vet, I have to tell you, the vet was so excited. She is doing incredibly well. The results were so Yes, the results were so good. Her liver is doing so much better. I think the vet was really shocked and surprised and elated. And I have to tell you, I told the vet, I really think it's because of you and the healing work that you did on. And she understood. Yeah, she understood when I said I've been working with an animal communicator. She goes, "Oh, I get it. I get it." She goes, "My mother has been using an animal communicator for a long time," and then she asked me your name, and she said, "I think that might be the same person my mother is using." So I don't know, but all that to say, Donna, thank you so much. I really feel that your work really helped my kitty, and it also helped me because it put me at ease.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I'm like, yay, it doesn't matter how long I do my work, every time I hear this, I get so excited. Like, it's just, because it's so great to see that, especially with kitties who are ailing, who have, some type of condition, to see they improve so dramatically. I'm just ecstatic. Yay. So good job, Maya. That's good.
So, Donna, based on what we were just talking about, when you do, when you're working on an animal, like in my case with Maya, who has an ailment, do you always do the healing energy, or is that like a case-by-case basis?
It's kind of both. It is definitely case by case, but also I always, if there is a health condition like Maya would have, then I for sure use the healing energy. And I ask, of course, the animal if it's okay for me to heal them. And most of them, they're okay, but they want to. So I definitely use the healing energy for ailing animals. I do health check on pretty much. Health check is always part of the animal session, because even if you have a young kitty, sometimes, I can detect the things which are going to happen down the line and give people a guideline as far as what to watch for and what to change with food. So I think the health check is very helpful. And then if you have an animal who has some kind of condition, then I do the healing. And also what I think also was a big help to Maya, because you did what I suggested with the crystals, the crystal massage.
Yes.
Because that is a huge help, and I am a big advocate for crystal work with animals, because actually, and I'm really excited that the vet actually was even surprised with her result, because I will guarantee that part of it is the crystal healing, which you actually did at home. Because I have my own, I have two kitties, and one of my cats is 19, and he's doing great. But he loves crystals, and I've been working on him with healing and crystals for years. He's been diagnosed in, when was this, 2014, I want to say, with a kidney failure. And you know what? And that's when I actually started to work. I was just like, no, you're not going to be sick. I'm not going to, I'm going to work on you. That's not going to happen. So I would work on him energetically, but also as a supplement, which I think is really, really important. And a lot of times the crystal healing, people can do it at home with their own crystals. So I start to work on him with the crystals, because, like, for example, for the kidneys is hepatite. That's a specific crystal which helps to detox, and also amethyst. Those are all detoxing crystals. And so I would work on him, and you know what? His kidney completely, he's back to normal. He's 19. He eats now whatever he wants. He is just, when people see him, he looks like he's 8 years old.
And, wow.
But yeah, he's absolutely, and he's funny because he comes on his own. I have a lot of crystals everywhere around the house, and he does pick his own crystals, because I think also, and animals are very in tune with all this, with you know, the instinctive, with instincts, with the earth, with nature. So they are definitely in tune with the crystal energy. So he would come and he would pick which crystal is going to be his. And so he has about four or five crystals, and nobody touches those, and those are specifically his. And I use them because he also later on was diagnosed with hyperthyroid. And this is something I want to share with you because it's kind of similar situation you had with Maya, because he had he was diagnosed with hyperthyroid. And he would get, you know, I knew the medicine, the one which is recommended for the thyroid is not going to be working because it's too strong. So his only option really would be a special diet, special food. But now my cat is super picky. He's not going to eat it. There's no way he's going to eat the Hill's diet. That's the only diet they have. Right. And so I remember my vet diagnosed him. His thyroid was super high and his liver count was high. And then within about a month, he said, okay, we'll give him the food, the special diet. So I did it anyways. Of course, he didn't touch the food. He would eat maybe one can and then, you know, he stops eating it. And the trick my vet told me is you have to feed them only the diet. If they eat anything else with the diet doesn't work. So there is no point giving it. Yes. So he would just kind of eat back and forth. Not really. He would eat his usual stuff. And then when, I was working on him energetically and also with the crystals. Now he has a lapis for his thyroid because that was work for the thyroid. And then he has amethyst again, you know, and a rose quartz. So I would work on him both ways, healing and the crystal massage every single day, because I was like, okay, when we go see our vet, he is going to be giving me so much help because his thyroid is going to be high because he's not eating his food. Okay, so he has his test, and you know what? It was just with you. I was so happy. His thyroid numbers were completely like half down. It was amazing. And his liver too. He was like almost back to normal. So my vet was also, he was completely disbelieving. He's like, oh wow, you know, that he just couldn't believe that the diet itself would work on him so well. Because I didn't tell him. And I just wanted to see first what the numbers are. So I didn't want to disclose that I work on him myself. But as I told him afterwards, and he's like, oh my God. So 100% I believed the energy work and the crystals together. It's a great complement to the energy work. So, you know, it's just, it really, really makes an impact on the animal's health. But again, I'm so happy back to Maya that she's doing better. Yay.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just wanted to add one more thing, Donna. You had said that people don't have to believe in crystals or understand crystals or any of that for it to work.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. No, because, you know, some people find it, they don't have the connection, and it's okay.
Right.
You know, all they need to want, they love their animal, and they don't want the animal to feel pain or be physically sick. And all they need to do to get the appropriate crystals, which I'm always happy to recommend, and I have on YouTube the video that which gives a little example how to massage the animal with the crystals, and that's it. And it will work regardless.
So let's, I wanted to, I'm sorry, the sound went out for a minute. Let's start from the beginning. When you were raised in Czechoslovakia, how old were you when you first developed the ability to communicate with animals?
As I remember, I was about 4 years old.
Wow.
Because I was always outside playing, you know, I mean, there was no kids around. It was a farm in the middle of the fields and forest, and that was it. I was home all day long with my grandparents, and my parents went to work. And then we didn't have like a little preschool back home. We were, it was a different school system. So you didn't go to school until you were 6 or 7 years old. So I was home, and all I do was outside with the animals playing around. And I noticed that if I sit next to the animal and just am quiet, then suddenly I feel like I could, in that age, of course, I wasn't thinking about it in those terms. But later on, when I went back, I realized what I was doing. I just felt this like a really strong energy between me and the animal, almost like in my heart. Like I would feel like there is this sensation, almost like a pain of a sort, and I would feel suddenly it was almost like I had a court between me and the animal, and I used to call that, and I would become the animal. Like it's kind of funny to explain it, but that's how I used to call it as a child. That I was no longer the girl. I would become the animal, and I would hear everything what the animal says and how they feel, and I could actually being on the same. In the same level with them, I could talk to them, being on the same energy wave as they were, and so that's how that's how it started. So I would just be outside, and I would be always quiet, never speak, and just be next to the animals, and that's how we would talk, because I would get information from them, and I would tell them, with my heart voice, what I am doing and how I was, how my day is going, and share all kind of stuff. So that's how it started. And many, many years later here in Los Angeles, when I actually start to go back to the animal communications, and I was kind of looking what the other communicators doing and how, if it really exists. So I actually noticed that, yeah, that's how people, the animal communicators, animal communications happen, that you do connect with animal through your heart or through your heart chakra, and you just really speak on that wave of the energy. That's what I was doing just automatically when I was a child. I just didn't think about it in those terms.
I love that. I think you called it the heart voice, and I just think that's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly, because it always, all the communication happens from your heart chakra, or for people who are not familiar with chakras, middle of your chest. So that's where you have to feel the little twitch or tingling or warmth, and then you made a connection with the animal and you can start communicating.
So your family also wasn't necessarily intuitive like you, and you were saying that religion and spirituality was disavowed there. So did you held your abilities to yourself, but did you ever express it to anyone or let anyone know that you were able to do that?
No, I didn't, because my family truly was not spiritual. I mean, they didn't have the intuitive side. If they had, nobody ever talked about it. So I have no idea if any of my family was spiritual or not, but generally I would say, no. My grandma and they were religious, so they would go to church, not my parents, my grandparents, they would go to church, it was Catholic. And I would go with them because as a child, we were led to go to church but that was never for me. I was like 5 years old, and I was like, no, I don't want, I mean, I love the ambience of the old church and singing and all that, but I did not, when I heard the priest talking, I didn't agree with it. So I remember that stopped. I didn't want to go to church afterwards. And so, but that was only, and it, even the church going was kind of hush-hush because the communist regime really, they didn't forbid it, like they didn't put you in jail for going to church, but basically it would not advance in the future. Like, for example, if I want to go to school, study, I would not be able to, because on my resume would be that I went to church or my family is religious. Now, wow. I'm fortunate because it was kind of forbidden. I was fortunate because my mom was herself a lawyer, and so she had connections higher up. And so even though I was from church-going family, I still got into school, so I became a lawyer myself. But otherwise, I've never really talked about my spiritual side because I would be seen as an odd it, you know, like I would be, it would not be received favorably. So I kept it to myself. I was quiet because the fashion in communism was all about being together and being the same. You were not to stick out of the pattern. You know, if you stick out, there is something wrong with you. So I knew if I would start talking about my communication with animals, I would be sticking out, and I did, and I knew it's not going to be good for me. So I kept quiet.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty amazing. We're going to take a short break and we'll come back and speak with Donna. So you're listening to the Mission Possible program on voiceamerica.com, the Empowerment Channel. I'm your host, Carol Ann Fernandez, in conversation with Donna Devorak. And when we come back, we will learn how she stepped into her true calling as an animal communicator. Stay tuned.
We're on Facebook along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
Are you satisfied with your life? Do you know that more should be possible? Listen for the Access Consciousness Radio Show with the creators of Access, Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane here. Our program offers pragmatic tools to change things in your life that you haven't been able to change until now. What if all of life could come to you with ease, joy, and glory? Tune in to Access Consciousness Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Empowerment.
Are you tired of your job? Do you feel like you were meant for more? Would you like to live life on your terms? You can when you actualize your true calling. You can be financially sustainable. You can live a meaningful life. You can love what you do, even make a difference and leave a luminous legacy. Drawing from over a decade's worth of research, her immense wisdom and cross-cultural life experience, Carol Ann guides, encourages, and inspires individuals to awaken to their purpose and actualize their life's mission. For those seeking to deepen their understanding and learn more, please visit carolann.global. For information about programs, coaching, and local workshops, or to purchase her book, Mission Possible, A Guide to Discovering Your True Calling, or to invite Carol Ann to speak at your event, please visit carolann.global. Again, that's carolann.global.
Exploring the Enneagram with Dr. E is an amazing way to help you be you. Join host Dr. Deborah Egerton as she helps you to see how exploring the Enneagram helps you understand why you do the things you do. Understanding yourself can strengthen relationships, offer new perspectives, and help you live the life you were intended to live. You'll look at different aspects of your life in a whole new light. Exploring the Enneagram with Dr. E is broadcast live every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
You are listening to Mission Possible program. To reach Carol Ann Fernandez or her guest on today's program, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. If you'd like to send an email, the email address is radiomissionpossible@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Mission Possible program. I'm your host, Carol Ann Fernandez, in conversation with animal communicator Donna Devorak. So, Donna, you became an attorney. You followed in your mother's footsteps. While you were doing that, were you in any way communicating with animals on the sly, quietly, or was that not even present for you?
No, it was, you know, once I started high school, and then I chose not to really, I tried to fit in, to be honest, because I chose not to really communicate. I just wanted to, because in that time, there was really no future in communism. You go to school, you go to work, and you in one position. If the communism would still be there, and I would have stayed in the country, then I would become a lawyer. I would go work as a lawyer, wherever lawyer position, and I would stay in the job my whole life. You will not change jobs, you don't change careers, nothing like that. So I was in that point, nobody knew the communism is going to fall and we're going to be free and we can expand a little bit. So in that point, I was trying to just fit in. So I didn't do any communications. It was always in the back of my mind. And of course, because I was still living in the farm, we had animals. So I would really just do what I always did, like speak with them at home. But I would never advertise. I would just say to my mom, okay, well, our cat needs this, or I think this is good. And so the family would think I'm an animal person. I have like a special understanding, but still everything would be based on just some people are good with horses or some people are good with cats or dogs. So they would think I'm just good with them like that. There is nothing else going on. So that was acceptable. But I would never still say out, oh, yeah, I am telling you that our cat needs extra blanket because she's cold, and I know it because the cat told me. So they would look at me like I'm crazy, and there's nothing to happen. So, and then, of course, when you go to high school, you start to have a different social life. And so I was just like a typical teenager, running around. And then I went from high school. I was accepted to the college, to the law, University of Law in our main city in Prague. And so I had to move to a college dorm and then study the law. And as I studied the law, then I encounter a fashion photographer. Typically, I was walking on the street and he stopped me and he took some pictures and then he submitted to agency, which was the only agency at that time in Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia. And it all went from there. And it was just about on the brink when the communism started falling. So it was really nice because we had people, fashion people coming from the West. And so it was, all of that starts to really blossom. But I did have to finish my law school because my mom would never let me do it. Back home, the education is very, very important.
Yes.
I did have to finish law school, and I did actually practice for about a year as a prosecutor. Yes, I was the youngest one in the Republic, and they had to make me, they had to approve that because I was underage to practice.
That's amazing, Donna.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun. I was a terrible prosecutor. I have to say, I never wanted to be a lawyer. So I didn't really want you to sit there and have, the black robe with the purple stripes, for the prosecutor. And that's how he was back home. And to judge some poor guy who really didn't commit anything, So it was not my thing. But it was later on, I have to say that I'm grateful that my parents actually made me to go to school, because even though it was something I never would choose to be a lawyer, the education per se, just the higher education was really helpful. And I always be grateful for that.
Yes, I completely agree with that. So then you become a model and you move to Paris. So what was that like? So again, I'm going to ask you the same question. Was there any connection with animals, or were you just fully focused on the modeling?
I was fully focused on the modeling. Modeling life is crazy. You always travel. There is always something going on. It's just basically you have never time for it. I mean, there is never, you're basically almost never alone. It's just constant whirlwind. So I really did not, I didn't do anything as far as the animal communication. I always retained my spiritual side, but I was more interested in more kind of commercial spiritual stuff, we would do tarot cards, we would do pendulum, and all the stuff a lot of young girls do, just to kind of get answers immediately. Mm-hmm. It was just like, the very, very, very top of the spiritual things. Very top. What I'm saying, the very, very top layer of the spiritual stuff. But in the same time, I would read, books about different religions, because I was always interested in it. I was always reading some type of a spiritual book. So I kind of kept a little bit my finger in it, but just very, very little, because my focus was entirely on the modeling career.
Mm-hmm. So then you came to Los Angeles, you end up settling down here, you opened your own modeling agency, so now you're a business owner. Tell us how your true calling emerged.
Well, when I had my, again, when I had my business, especially any fashion business, people who are familiar with it will agree, it's very demanding business, so there is not much time, for anything else. But I still, I knew kind of in the back of my head there's still that spiritual side which eventually I would like to. It was more like my relaxation, my really calm place of my soul, which I didn't have a luxury to be in that moment when I had my agencies, but I still knew it's there, and one of the days I will go there, hopefully. But I wasn't thinking about that, every day. It was just kind of subconsciously. But what happened before I had an interesting experience, because I went to the hypnotherapist for a past life regression. And as I did this, the next day, it just completely changed my inner self in a way. It reopened fully my spiritual connection. And I knew the time I want to do something again. But I was not ready yet, because I was full-on business owner and I just could not step across that threshold. It was not time for me yet. That came much later when I was, but it never left my mind. I knew I'm going to go forward in some point. And so I eventually, in a few years later, I took a class with my friend of mine who was a healer. She worked with people only. And I wanted to support her. And I always liked stuff like that. I always liked classes. And just because it was very calming. It was like a relaxation for me. So I took the class. And it was for people healing. But truly, I was not really interested in working with people at that time. I just did it for relaxation. And so in the class, we were meeting in one of the students' house, because she provided the space. And one of the students had a dog. I remember it was like this white lab. And she was older, and she would always lie there with us in the circle. And now when I think about it back, I know she liked the energy, because we were all like working with energy, and she liked that, and she wanted to be part of it. Because my kids are doing the same thing now. They sit in my morning meditation every single day just to get a little bit of the energy going. So as we are having a class, I just focused. It just came to me naturally. I was just start focusing on the dog, and I start communicating with her. And I notice that she is not well physically, that she has pain in her paws, which was arthritis, and then she also is not feeling well. It seems like she would have some growth inside of her body. And first because nobody knew about my communicating with animals at that time. They just knew I'm a spiritual person, but nobody knew about that. And so I kind of mentioned it to my friend who was the teacher, and I said, look, this is what I'm getting from the dog. And she said, you have to tell the girl who has the dog. You got to tell her. So I did, and they took the dog to the vet, and they reconfirmed everything, that she has growth inside of her, and her paws are full of arthritis. I think the dog still was living for a couple of years, but I don't know really what happened in the end. But that was just the beginning. And then the same class, we were supposed, in the same time, a couple of months later, in the same class, my cat, who is my 19, he was the same cat. He was about a year or 2 years old, and he was having a terrible problems with his. He first got urinary infection. Then he had something. The doctor couldn't tell what it is. The cat was peeing blood everywhere. It was not really looking good at all. Oh, he was giving antibiotics, then he was giving this, and it was just impossible. Nothing helped. So I was really, really desperate, and it just so happened that we were in the class, we were taught how to heal other person. And so our assignment in that class was we're going to just pick a person, somebody close to us, and we're going to heal them. And I'm like, well, I don't have anybody in my, and it really, the most important person right now for me is my cat. And so I will do the healing on my cat. And I didn't tell anybody again, because I think, you know, this is like my, I want to say, my childhood trauma that I was never allowed to talk about my communicating skills. So I kept to me, even here, which didn't make sense, right? But I still was quiet. So I didn't say anything. And I did do healing on my cat. I never forget it because I send a stream of light to the cat. I visualize him. And then I saw, when you do the healing, also, I didn't direct it anywhere. It just started going through his whole body like this lights would. It would be like he had a string of light from his head all the way down to his tail, and they would flash, and the energy would activate them. And it was just this flash of light going up and down, and I knew it worked. So then I got home, and it was, oh, my God, my cat was so full of energy. And he was running back and forth the house like a crazy cat, running and jumping. And I was like, oh, my God, I overdid it. I put too much energy now. And he is like, he's just going crazy. But it was, that was kind of the funny aspect. But he really, it was like he got a big, full shot of energy. He stopped peeing blood that night.
Wow.
Never peed blood again. It was just amazing. And then
that is amazing.
I stopped giving. Yeah, I was amazed myself. I was shocked. I was like, wow, you know. And then so I took him to the vet. He's like, yeah, he's fine. No medication. I didn't give him anything anymore. So that 100% I know in my that it was the energy work. So since, and then I started because of the, then somebody else, because of the whole situation with the dog in our class, people start, you know, the teacher told them that I was the one who kind of understood the dog. And so people start to be curious, and many of them had animals. And so I start to work with people's animals just to practice. And it's just so open. It was like a, It opened, the path opened so fast. It was just like an avalanche of requests for me to communicate with animals. I mean, it was nonstop. So eventually, and I knew this is my true calling. And also because there was one thing I noticed, when you are on your right true path, things just come together. I didn't do anything. I was just there, and everybody would be like, asking me to communicate. I got offers to do different shows, to be in different magazines. It was just like, I was like, wow. And so I knew in my heart, this is my true calling. This is my true path. And so eventually I sold the agencies and just started to work as a professional in, so to speak, animal communicator.
Love it. So, Donna, in the process of communicating with animals, you also started seeing past lives. Now, at first, you didn't want to say anything because you didn't want to be judged. But tell us more about that and how that came into being and the benefit sometimes of seeing the past lives.
Well, the past life, you know, I knew always, obviously, people have past lives, right? So I was always interested in that. And actually, even when I was in that healing class, when we used to, because part of the class was also doing reading with people, so I would always see the past life for the person. It was my like was my specialty. But I never knew that animals have past life. It was my nobody really knew. So what happened was, when I was already working as the animal communicator, you know, and obviously I was just doing the usual typical animal communicator work, which is taking care of behavior problems, you know, all type of ailments, just normally. There was no past life, not like nothing like that. And so I remember this time when I had a dog named Charlie, and he was this beautiful Cocker Spaniel, Charles King Cavalier. And he was a pure breed. He was all that. He lived with his people since he was a puppy. His people were loving. He had another two dogs with him. It was just like a great setup. However, Charlie was completely, he had a horrible separation anxiety from the lady. I will call her Linda. So Linda and Charlie were, she couldn't even go to the bathroom. He would be right in front of the doors, and he would have seizures when he didn't see her. It was just really, really bad. So she asked me to look at, you know, just to work with him. And as I connected to him, suddenly it just flashed, and suddenly I'm seeing his past life, which I recognize was his past life when he was a human child. He was a baby boy, and Linda was his mother, and he was just being born. Now, the birth was very difficult, very difficult. And they took him away. As soon as they got him out of her, they took him away. So he never saw her. And what happened was she died during the childbirth. So now I saw that this is the connection. This was so traumatic for Charlie, even in that lifetime, because he felt that if he was separated from his mother, she disappears, and he will never see her again, and she will die. And so even in the reincarnation with him as a Charlie the dog, he still retained it, this his soul, he still retained this memory of this terrible accident. And so he was completely transfixed on Linda, and he didn't want to leave her out of his sight, because he was afraid if he doesn't see her, she will die. So it was so shocking for me, because that was the first time I ever seen animals past life, and also every time I saw that animal actually can reincarnate to human and then back to animal, because I've never heard about it before. So it was I got two whammies in the one session. And so I knew I knew it's true. I mean, I 100% knew this is what happened. And so how am I going to relate this to Linda? Oh, she's going to think, oh my God, you know. So I was so scared. And when I talked to them, Linda was completely, it completely made sense to her. She said, you know what? I always felt he's my child. I felt there is this strong connection. I never knew. I thought I'm crazy because he's my child. That's how I always felt it. And that was it. And he actually just seeing that past life, just bringing it up into the consciousness, it released the trauma. And so he's become better. And actually, she understands why he was doing it. And he now understands why he was doing it. And he become better. He become really nice. He did no longer had seizures. He was fine. He was not super stressed. She could leave him, you know, by himself or with the other dogs. Completely changed.
That's amazing. And it's wonderful that Linda confirmed that for you as well. That's amazing.
Yes, so that was my first past life. And since then, I start pretty much almost on every session I see past lives of animals. And what happens is it's a huge, it's very healing. It's very healing for the animal and for the person, because if there is a problem with the behaviors or even physical problems, the past life a lot of times provides the clue why you know, these problems are in the present still. And just bringing them out into the open, it heals the animal and the person and the whole situation. So
yes.
I find the past lives really helpful. And, you know, it's interesting because people are so open. I was first very apprehensive because I wasn't sure if people would be open to, you know, hearing about past lives of animals. People love it because they really resonate with it.
It's
really interesting, you know, and they confirm, they say, oh, yeah, I knew, I always knew. And sometimes even the places where the past livelihood takes place, you know, like just recently I had a lady and they had a past life in ancient Egypt when she was a priestess and her cats were actually her lions. It was all interesting. And she, as soon as I said, okay, it was in Egypt, she said, oh my God, I can't believe you said it because I was just there last year. It was just this whole connection. It just all came out in the open. And so, so it's totally resonates with people. So that makes me happy, of course.
So I wanted to ask you another question that I've noticed, Donna, that you never use the word owner. You will say things like the animals and their people. So say more about that.
Well, because really you cannot own living beings.
Yes.
And, you know, animals are just like us. Like, see, we can only be their guardians. That's, you know, we can, it's, they, their soul, animal soul is equal to human soul because it is the same soul except in the different physical body. That's something what I learn, and it's not only my opinion. As you speak, I believe a few other animal communicators, they will say the same. But I discovered through my work that really it does not matter if the soul is in the body of an animal or in the body of a human. And it's very, it changes all the time, but the soul remains the same. And it takes the body which needs at the moment to gain the most experience or get the experience it needs to evolve, because each soul, it's all about gathering experiences. So
yes.
When you have your dog, right, let's say you have a dog, well, you don't know, the dog might be in your son in your previous life and it might be your husband in the next life, you know, so you cannot really own another soul. It's not right, isn't it?
Yes. Well, Donna, we're actually coming to the close of our program, but I wanted to see if I could get in one more question. I have a listener. Her name is Lynn from North Hollywood, and she has a little Chihuahua rescue. She's had the dog for about 7 years, and I think the dog is about 9 years old. And she had a general question, and that was, does her dog have anything to tell me because she feels like it does? Or more specifically, she said one day the dog just stopped sleeping with her and used to follow her to her room and be very cuddly, but doesn't go there anymore. So is there any little things that you can share with us before we close?
You know, like, okay, I would need to establish connection with the dog to ask her what it is which personally bothers her with Lynn. Because there is something definitely what the dog is telling Lynn. It has something to do with her house. There is, okay, let me, what is the name of the dog?
Bambi.
Do you have a name?
Yes, Bambi. Bambi.
Bambi.
Yes.
Is about 9 year old in North Hollywood.
Yes.
Okay. There is somebody in Lynn's life who just came recently. I think it's a male energy, and Bambi is telling her that it's not a good person. That's what I'm getting from the very beginning, very right away, that she's warning her. There is somebody in her circle who just, she doesn't know him that long and who is not good for her. That's the first thing.
Okay,
but
we're going to,
anything more, For anything more, specific, I would need to see the picture of the dog and
yes.
just really connect with her, and she could tell me. Also, there is something else. There is something, I don't know if she changed her laundry detergent or her perfume, because there is something what bothers Bambi.
It's all right. Well,
something with the sheets. Okay, yeah, with the laundry detergent, there is a different smell.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. We are coming to a close. Donna, if people want to learn more about you and your work, where can they go?
The best way is to go on my website, which is www.danadvorak, DANADVORAK, animalcommunicator.com.
Well, thank you for joining me, Donna. Thank you for doing the amazing work that you're doing with the animals and with their people, especially for me. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure, Caroline.
Certainly. Well, that wraps up this hour. Keep gathering the clues to your mission possible. This week, reflect on your childhood, if there were any gifts, talents, or abilities that began to emerge at an early age, just like Donna. I'm your host, Carol Ann Fernandez. This has been the Mission Possible program. Tune in next week when we speak with Bill Gerrals, who had a life-altering situation which propelled him on his path of purpose, that of creating beautiful handmade angels. I leave you with this quote by Oprah Winfrey, "You have a gift that only you can give the world. That's the whole reason you're on the planet. Use your precious energy to build a magnificent life. The miracle of your existence calls for celebration every day." Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Mission Possible program. Please join your host, Carol Ann Fernandez, for another edition of the program next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Until the next show, we wish you the best week ahead.